Welcome to Whatever Works, our unique fortnightly podcast in which we talk about whatever works in our lives and in the lives of our community members. Find us at whateverworks.works. And why not join our community? Simply search for Whatever Works at MeWe.com and get stuck in.
Then we will not be at home to Mr. Cock-Up Audio.
Oh, well, we might. It's the middle of the night. I don't know what we're doing recording Whatever Works at this ungodly hour of the day. It's only 10 to 10 in the morning. What are we doing, Ted? Good morning, everybody, and good night.
I don't know. Hello, everyone. Yes, I'm not awake yet either, but needs must. And this is, I'll leap down the show notes a bit to say that I put a poll out in the group this week about, you know, liquor paint. Is it getting a bit samey? Has the idea run out of steam of Whatever Works after nearly 10 years? And the response very much was about, you know, no, it's fine from most people. They still enjoy the formula and it's all right. Don't worry about it. Well, one suggestion was that we might try some sort of themed approach, which thanks to Matthew for that. And we'll take that on board and have a think about that. But one of the things, the other suggestions that came out, as I knew it would was have a guest, spice it up with a guest from Steve. And that just doesn't work for us. And what I was going to say was that today, 9:45 in the morning, is a great example of that, because you and I have got the ready flexibility to just at the drop of a hat change the time, change the day. And if you're trying to include a guest in that whole kind of flexibility, it becomes very difficult, doesn't it?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think it depends. It depends on the guest, to be honest. If the guest says, "I'm sorry, I'm strictly only three at 12 minutes past one on Thursday," then we've got a problem. But if it's a guest who, like us, can say, you know, yeah, I can, you know, let me know if and when, and sorry, I've got an appointment.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I think yes and no. I think if we can find flexible guests, then it could be done.
There's something else for the pot anyway. But thanks for feeding back, everyone. And it is show 226. It is now the tail end of May in 2025, and not the tail end of the day here. Whateverworks.works is our website, where you'll find links to all the claptrap we're going to talk about today. And the MeWe group is where we scoop up lots of that, of course. So please keep feeding us content in there. Aidenbell.com is for Aiden, and TedSalmon.com is for me, and the usual furniture. So I had a bit of a blood spike, sugar spike thingy again this week. I tested myself and it was a bit high, and I thought, yeah, you see, it's not all gone away. The diagnosis might have been fundamentally wrong, but I'm still clearly pre-diabetic or something. Ahmed Bibar suggested I try some chicory root syrup, which I think we've talked about before. And this time I actually did it. I actually ordered some at £7 a bottle from Amazon for 200 mils. Oh, this can be a bit of a rip-off, but I had to try it. And actually, I can't taste it. I honestly can't taste it. I put some in my porridge. I put some on a slice of sourdough bread, and I can't taste the stuff. But anyway, there you go. And apparently, according to Ahmed, it makes you fart as well. And I can confirm that.
Well, if you're living on your own, does it matter?
No. What have you been up to?
I've been in the garden for a couple of weeks, actually. I've been working on an extension project for my pond. Did I tell you I have a pond in the garden?
You haven't got a pond.
I have. It's wonderful. Now, I've been building a stream. I've been building a stream for the last couple of weeks. So I wonder who bought it. If you start seeing pond liner or pipes or pegs or adhesives or underlay well, guilty as charged, my lad. I've been having a lot of fun. As you know, I mean, my life fluctuates between being quite busy with gigs and then suddenly having a free period and nothing to do. So the nothing to do, my having unofficial ADHD and not being able to keep still for 2 minutes, means that I have to have a project. And my current one is having great fun in the garden, building a stream.
Right.
I thought I'd mention that. That's it, really.
Yeah. Where are you getting the water supply from? A hose?
Oh, that's been the fun of it. I mean, I tell you what, the Romans had nothing on me. I mean, I'm pumping water out of the pond and running it underground to the top of the stream, where it hits the stream and then runs down the stream back into the pond again. So it's a circuit. But water is a bugger, and water will just not go where you want it to, and it will go where it wants. So, I mean, the fun I've been having finding leaks and getting it to course where I want it to, and not emptying my pond inadvertently overnight.
You're such a DIYer. I would, me and my dad are the complete opposite. We would, the first thing we would think of is, who can we get in to do that?
I'm very pleased to say I got the DIY gene, definitely from my father. And, you know, and I think we've said on the show before, I'm very proud that I'm a person who knows how to wire a plug, because these days even that is a dying art.
Yeah.
No, I enjoy that. And it's funny, because once or twice with the stream project, I've had a major setback, you know, a leak where the pond liner wasn't big enough to cover, and how was I going to do this? And, oh, my God, the whole thing's wrong. And then I had to stand back and think, well, hang on, Aidan, you're only doing this for fun.
Yeah.
So don't get frustrated with it. Just say, oh, another challenge. How can I fix that? Yeah, I enjoy it. I enjoy it. Here, I've got to tell you something else that happened this morning. The reason we're recording at the crack of dawn, ladies and gentlemen, is because I've got a doctor's appointment today. Nothing serious, nothing to worry about, ladies and gentlemen. Aidan is fine, but I had to phone the doctor this morning. And I was in the famous queue. You are number 18 in the queue, you know, so it's 20 minutes later. You are number 7 in the queue. Finally, you are number 1 in the queue. And I thought to myself, well, then why aren't they talking to me? If I'm number 1 in the queue, then it's me. Talk to me. Don't tell me I'm number 1 in the queue and make me wait for another 5 minutes. I can't quite work out the mathematics of their countdown system. If you're number 2...
Well, you're in the queue.
If you're number 2, it means there's one person in front of you, so you wait till they finish.
No, because the person that is being spoken to is 0. The queue starts at number 1.
Silly.
You're first in the queue.
Can't be...
If you stand in...
number. If you're no, that if you if I said to you, Ted, you're number 1, then you think, oh, I'm the best. And I say, no, you're not the best, you're the second best, because 0 is actually the best. Nah.
Yeah.
I agree with you, and I can see what you mean, and you're right, but I think it's stupid.
Talking of medical matters, I went to the dentist for a checkup this time, for the first time since I've had my teeth. And I, 2 minutes I was in the chair, because there was nothing wrong. I thought, why am I going for this checkup? But anyway, I don't want to be knocked off of their books at all, so I went along with it. 2 minutes in the chair I was. He had a quick look. Oh, yeah. He said, anything wrong? I said, no, it's all fine. £65.
Yeah.
Lovely as they are, and as unlikely as I am to complain, it really does feel like that's a bit of a rip-off, don't you?
I think medical services in general are incredibly expensive. If you have to go and see a private doctor, £250 to go in and see a doctor for 10 minutes. Yeah. And, you know, you get a lawyer. You go down the road and you sit and you talk to your lawyer about, I don't know, you want to sell your house or something, and suddenly you get a bill for £175. It astounds me. I mean, we're in the wrong game here, you and I, Ted, I tell you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, some professions just... Sorry, after you.
Sorry. The other game to be in is plumbing.
yes, absolutely.
Except you do your own in the garden.
I do my own in the garden, but I'm sure I've said on the show the wonderful anecdote I heard about the performers who were singers who gave a quotation for a gig. The person said, my God, that's far too expensive. Couldn't you do it for less? So they said, all right, I tell you what, get a couple of plumbers and see what they would charge you to be there for 2 hours in the evening, and we'll do it for half of that.
Yeah, exactly. Finishing the dentist thing, they also offered me a dental plan, which I suppose people will know about this. £16.50 a month for 2 hygienist visits and 2 dental checkup visits. And it's £16.50 a month. They tried to demonstrate to me that I would be saving money over the long term. But my problem with this is that I've got 7 teeth, right? Now, I can't imagine for one minute that the dental plan will cover anything that goes wrong with my dentures. So I've got 7 teeth left, and that £16.50, presumably, is the same price that someone with 32 teeth is going to be charged. So how is that fair?
I never heard of that before. We'll charge it according to the number. You'll have people deliberately falling off bikes and smashing their teeth out. I've got less teeth than I had last week. I want to pay a smaller subscription. You fool.
I'm guessing that if I was to ask them, they would argue that it's not just about teeth, it's about your mouth and your gum health. I can just hear them saying it.
You anyway, mad tempestuous fool.
Next week it's the optician, so I'm having a bit of a health month.
Oh dear, shall we move on to feedback?
Go on.
Matthew Jones suggests that instead of Aidan having to concrete poles into the ground, Aidan enjoys concreting poles into the ground, he should try heavy-duty ground spike. Intended for rotary washing lines, parasols, flags, activity poles, bird feeders and rotary areas, etc. This is great. This is a sort of, Matthew goes on to say, the flexible pole erection, as your show was titled last time. I erected, says Matthew, a pole of my own a couple of days ago and found it very cool, yet very robust, I'll put my teeth back in and try. I've got 32 and I can't manage. A very cool, yet very robust shortcut to using concrete. It's like a giant self-tapping screw, and it's actually pretty easy to use. It only gets tight during the last few turns, like a normal screw would, and it's rock solid when it's done. I used it to install an antenna mast on a piece of wasteland at the end of my garden. It's now happily holding a 30-foot mast with an 18-foot antenna on top of it. $11.99. This is quite a find. I tell you what, Matthew, I quite like the sound of these. Screw it in and the job's done. I'm definitely going to remember that. Maybe next time I go to the Antarctic, I can bore down into the ice and do some research with it.
It looks like it comes with some sort of thingy to put on the top to screw it with as well.
To give you the leverage to go round and round. Leverage, yes, I guess you'd need that. Yeah. Excellent. Good find, Matthew. I shall certainly bear that in mind. Thank you.
Very, very good. Thank you, Matthew. Now, do you remember when you were at school in the 1970s, Adidas trainers with stripes on the side?
Oh, yes.
We used to have Adidas. It was all the rage, and you weren't anyone unless you had a pair of Adidas trainers. Daniel B. has found an Adidas campus shoes, which he would like to highlight. They're extremely comfortable and I like the basic style. They come with a pair of thinner black laces and I use and think they are better looking than the wide white ones. They are a shade of black on the outside, which I like the look and feel of too. They're done with a premium leather upper lined with soft textile terry fabric with all sorts of it riding on a off-white midsole. A clear connection to the campus legacy. I don't quite know what that means. And Daniel, as we know, is American. So the campus legacy, I'm not sure what that's about. But anyway, these are £90. And I do remember very clearly, as I say, the Adidas trainers. We loved them. And everyone was very jealous of their our schoolmates when they had a pair.
Oh yeah, I mean it's to this very day, I believe, it's Adidas v Nike still. Matthew Jones, back from his erection, says, yes, I love the flat rubber sole designs. Adidas really are smashing it out of the park with these traditional-looking designs. I recently bought a pair of Adidas SL72RS shoes. Oh, yes, those. I know them well. For £85, which look and feel as though they've been teleported here from 1972. Hey. Putting them on for the first time immediately triggered memories of the type of shoes we had back then. There you go, Ted.
Yeah.
The only trouble is, says Matthew, we didn't care so much about waterproofing in those days. You may as well be barefoot walking through a puddle, so definitely a fair weather shoe.
That's true. I do remember getting wet feet as well. But, yes, it was all the rage.
Good stuff.
And I'm glad that Adidas have survived and they're still going.
Excelente.
Steve Litchfield is next on a recurring theme every couple of years, I guess, we do this
yes,
one.
Yes, we do.
a bread maker. Homemade bread, says Steve. You can't beat it. He's highlighting the Panasonic bread maker, which we'll put a link in the show notes to. After decades of buying shop sliced bread with all the emulsifiers and preservatives, I've been using this Panasonic maker for weeks now, and we've had utterly delicious and much healthier homemade loaves. We've got, at my dad's house, we've got this bread maker still, which we've spoken about on the show before, and it just sits there doing nothing. And it's a shame, really, because homemade bread is really nice. But what I remember is when we were using it, we did an Aiden, you know. We always made the exact same loaf of bread with the thing. And there was hundreds and hundreds of different ways of creating something interesting and different. Not once did we ever do any of that, doing an Aiden.
Well, I say hear, hear to Ted Salmon, to Steve Litchfield, I should say, and tut, tut to Ted Salmon. Not for doing an Aiden, for I do the very same myself, of course, but for not using it recently. Because like Steve, yeah. We also have a Panasonic, and again, like Steve, I use it regularly. As you say, I do an Aiden. We have the loaf that we do, and we do that loaf repeatedly. I do occasionally spice it up by using a seeded loaf, which is also lovely, but those are the two. I fluctuate between regular loaf and seeded loaf. But I agree with Steve. Yeah, right. It's lovely bread. We do once in a while buy a, you know, plastic bread from Tesco's, because it's easier for my mum to handle for various things, and it can be toasted easily. But most of the time, Viva bread maker, definitely, Steve. I'm with you on that one, sir.
If I could find a way of making wholemeal bread rise as much as it does when I make white bread, then I might well use it more. But I don't particularly want white bread. And whenever I make wholemeal bread to the recipe given, it just comes out about half the size. I've tried more yeast, and I've tried, tweaking the recipe, but I just can't seem to make it happen. So if anyone's got a hot tip on that one, do let me know, because that might bring me back into using it.
Change your flour. I found that. I vary the flour. Vary my strong bread flour from either Tesco or Waitrose or Sainsbury's, or if I'm passing a farm shop, I'll grab some, because I do find the different flours make a big difference to the loaf you get.
Okay.
So try that. Try different flour.
Have you tried wholemeal?
I have, but I'm not keen on wholemeal. I'm not a wholemeal fan. I understand what you're saying. Wholemeal loaves do tend to be a little squashier than fluffy white ones. I guess that's just the nature of wholemeal. But I would suggest trying different. Or maybe even try a mix. Well, no, why not?
We did, yeah. We have tried that. Yeah. I tried doing 2/3 white and 1/3 wholemeal, and the other way around. And I've tried lots of ways of doing it. I think there's something fundamental that could possibly be done. But if what you're saying is true, perhaps I can't.
And of course, I think I've mentioned on the show before, I once had an accident and forgot to put the yeast in and invented unleavened bread. And it was delicious.
Yeah.
I mean, probably extremely unhealthy, because you eat about 8 times as much as you would if it were normal bread. But it's absolutely scrumptious. Steve, make a loaf of bread and don't put the yeast in one time and see what you get. It's absolutely gorgeous. Here, you brought Grandma Shark onto the show, didn't you, many moons ago? I can't remember what the product was, and we said Grandma Shark, what a lovely name. And I subsequently bought the Grandma Shark Leaf Vacuum, which I can see from the show notes you're looking at the Amazon link. It only cost me 30 or 40 quid, I think. It was a very good price. A leaf vacuum for the garden. Long, long cable, you know, and you go around the garden, and you know, it's a leaf blower. I almost never use the blower function. I totally use the vacuum function, which for a long time it amused me. I felt it very Monty Python to be, oh, I'm just going to vacuum the garden. It just felt like something very silly to do, but it's fabulous because it picks up leaves and light detritus very, very quickly. Anyway, it finally bit the bullet. It finally died. I turned it on and it just did that classic thing of making a strange noise and smelling a bit and smoke coming out, and I thought, oh, my Grandma Leaf Shark vacuum has just died. Grandma Leaf Shark vacuum. Yes, it's early in the morning. Anyway, as we know, I'm now involved in the Ryobi universe, having done those adverts for them. So I bought myself a Ryobi cordless vacuum blower and shredder. So it's the one that fits on the 18-volt system. We've talked about these systems before, where you have batteries that hot swap between various appliances. And I'm very much in the Ryobi camp now. So I bought this thing. I have to say that, especially for 135 quid, it's not as good as the other one. But I think the other one, the Grand Marshark, was mains-powered. And I've always found mains-powered is head and shoulders above anything batteries can do. So that's probably the reason. But it works, it does the job, and my goodness, it's so much easier without having the bloody cable, because you can just wander around the house and garden ad infinitum and not worry about where you are and what the cable's doing. So I'm very, very much enjoying the cable-free aspect of it, but I am missing Grand Marshark, because it was a really good piece of kit. You've opened up on Amazon, haven't you, Ted? Is the Grand Marshark still available, or has that one gone off market now?
Yes, it's 40 quid.
It's 40 quid and still available. So actually, my recommendation would be, if you don't want a cable, then fine. The Ryobi is a decent piece of kit, and I'm glad I have it. But if you can stomach the cable, then get the Grand Marshark for a quarter of the price, because it's very, very good. Lasted me a long time.
Very good.
And got a lovely name, too.
Now, continuing with the gardening theme, I like the look of this. Matthew Jones is back with the weed wand, weed burner.
Yes, yes.
And what you do is you buy this kind of stick thingy, and you put a gas canister on it, which comes with this. You for 19 quid, you get the wand, and it comes with 8 cans of gas, and then you just kind of light it up and
burn the out of the weeds.
Exactly. I reckon on where I live, I'd probably be thrown off if I tried to use it, but certainly at Dad's house it could. Anyway, Matthew says it's very therapeutic to set fire to things.
Oh, yes.
It's interesting how, whilst most tiny weeds and tufts of stray grass shrivel and give up immediately, others are remarkably resilient. Never mind, if they want a longer-term drawn-out death, that's their choice. Obviously, this is only good for weeds that are on paths, patios and driveways, but it has to be better than pulling them up by hand, surely, or even worse, using loads of chemicals. So there's a unique cylinder locking system to prevent leakage, he says. It's got an ergonomic handle design and an adjustable flame. A flamethrower for your garden. You've got to try this, Amy.
I love this.
You're the man.
Yeah, I really... I mean, the thing is, I can almost justify, because it's only 1850 at the moment, and we do have weeds on our pathway, on our driveway, coming through the cracks, which is exactly the sort of thing this is designed for. Don't tell the king, mind you. I mean, he'd say you should be talking to them, not setting fire to them. But, I'm tempted. I'm very tempted. And thank goodness I don't have any teenage kids who might get hold of it, because that doesn't bear thinking about, does it?
I wonder if it marks the ground. So if you put it on...
You might get scorch marks.
If it was coming up between your flagstone, say, I wonder if it would be burning a brown mark on I don't know.
Very good question. Yeah, something to ask Gemini.
Yeah. Or Matthew.
Oh, yeah. So, you've already admitted you've seen some of my pond bits and pieces. So, putting them aside, what's been bought this week?
Okay, I wonder who bought the Daytech freezer door alarm. Now, this is a thingy that you stick on your... If you've got a freezer, the chances are, at some point, the door's been left open, and you then get the obvious knock-on effects of having a freezer with the door open, including using loads of electricity, but also defrosting going on.
Yeah, but anyway, then you have to eat all the ice cream, Ted. I'm not buying one of these.
So you stick one side of this on the door, and or on the door that opens, and one side on the other. I mean, it's a bit like a burglar alarm in your doors in your house. Then you can set a delay, so it doesn't beep at you as soon as you open the door every time, up to 4 minutes. It's got a 120 decibel alarm. Good grief. 2 ringing modes, a chime and alarm. You can put it on by adhesive tapes that they supply, or the screws. You put AAA batteries in the side that's on the door. It works by magnets, so if the magnetism goes away, then it starts the countdown of the alarm. So it's fairly simple, and it's fairly cheap as well. You get one of these for $13.98, but there is a 20% voucher. Is the voucher gone now?
No, it's still there.
Right, so it's £11.18 I worked out. I think you only get one for that, though, don't you? Anyway, most people have only got one freezer, I guess. But you could put it on anything you like, couldn't you? It doesn't have to be a freezer. It could be on anything. It could be a burglar system, as I said.
I was just thinking, could be useful for our fridge, which does tend to get left open. Our fridge does actually have a built-in alarm, but the alarm is... And it's like, oh, I think I can possibly hear something. I wonder what that might be. So I certainly something with a bit more balls would be quite useful. I've just put one in my checkout basket. I might be buying one of those later. Oh, so thank you, mystery purchaser, for that.
Mystery purchaser, thank you. And to anyone else who uses my affiliate link, because it does help. I get a few pennies from what you buy. I know what people have bought, but I don't know who's bought what. So it's all still mysterious. It's just interesting to see, and it helps me out a bit. The link to use is tinyurl.com/AmazonTedUK. Thank you so much, you lovely people.
I bought the pond liner.
Well done. I got some pennies from that.
Still using and still using.
I'm still using my... Do you remember those long spoons, which were actually quite... I was surprised how popular they were. Everyone was saying, oh, yeah, they're great. They're called tea jar. And they're supposed to be latte spoons, but I mean, they're just long teaspoons, basically. I brought them to show 194 in September 23, and this particular one is a pack of six for £3.74. I never use poxy little tiny teaspoons for anything now. I don't think I've got any left. These are just so lovely. Great. Yep, I'm still using those.
They are lovely. I've got to ask you a question. Tell me again what they're called, Ted.
Tea jar latte spoons.
You see, I never took you for a snob. Latte? Don't you mean latte?
Latte.
Oh, they're latte spoons, are they, for your latte?
Latte. I didn't realise that was a posh pronunciation. Perhaps I've been hanging out with too many posh people.
You're just extending
latte. Say how you say it again.
Well, I would say latte. You're just extending the R a little bit. Latte. There's a latte.
Okay.
I shall pop down.
The A, you mean?
Yes. I shall pop down to Sloane Square for a latte at the hotel.
Rather, I should say so.
I tell you, I won't. I'm going to stay in the kitchen and have orange juice. I brought this onto the show in July 2020, and I brought it onto Still Using in 2024, and I want to bring it onto Still, in inverted commas, Using in 2025, the Citro Twin Orange Juice Maker, or equivalent. It's, you know, it juices oranges. That's what you do. And in this hot weather that we've been having, my mother and I have got into the habit of chop four oranges in half, two each, and squeeze the orange juice. And freshly squeezed orange juice is the best drink in the world, bar none. It's absolutely scummy. Keep them in the fridge. Keep your oranges in the fridge so they come out of the fridge and it's freshly squeezed. Absolutely gorgeous. The idea of this thing is you're supposed to put the oranges in and then pull the lid down, and pulling down the lid presses the oranges onto the whizzy round bits that take the two motors that take the juice out of the orange. Actually, I find that remarkably inefficient, and if you did that, you'd waste so much. So I've done away with the lid completely. I've actually literally removed the lid from the top of the thing, and I just press it down with the palms of my hands, and then actually even use my fingers to squeeze a little bit and then swap them around so I really get the every last drop of juice out of the oranges, because my mother was a war baby. And it's absolutely gorgeous, and I thoroughly recommend it. And if you can't get the Citro Twin, we'll just get any sort of juice maker, orange juice squeezer, because my goodness, it's delicious.
I've never used one of these. At my dad's house, there is a lemon squeezer thingy, which has got a rotating top, and you just hold the citrus fruit on the top of that, and it rotates
very similar,
inside your hand.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. But I did wonder about the cost of this. And obviously the cost depends very much on how much you're paying for your oranges. But compared to the 100% freshly squeezed juice from supermarkets, which is quite common now, I asked Gemini about the relative cost, and she seems to be saying that it certainly is cheaper to buy it in a bottle already juiced than be buying fresh oranges. But the way that you're describing it, that there's nothing quite like it, so it's different.
Yeah, I mean, I put the taste leaps and bounds above what you'd buy in a supermarket. I think you cannot buy from a supermarket anything that tastes anything like as good as the genuinely freshly squeezed straight out of the fridge. So, yes, I concur. It does cost a little more, but my God, it's worth it.
Okie dokie. We've done this one before, a couple of times, I think, but it's still worth another shout for anyone that hasn't got one yet. Damien Brown has been using the toothpaste squeezer. Do you remember that? You got three, didn't you?
Oh, I've still got them on the go. Oh, yes.
We got a toothpaste squeezer a few years ago, says Damien. Have never looked back. They're dirt cheap and really do squeeze every last blooming drop out of your toothpaste tube. My parents, both in their mid-80s, also use it and have no issues handling it at all. This particular one on Amazon we link to is £4.39 for three, but I'm sure that if you wait for them from China on the slow boat, they'll be much cheaper. But yeah, really, really good idea. And you're still using yours, are you?
Yes, we both have them. my mother at 89 isn't able to use it very much herself, so I rotate hers once in a while for her, wind it up the tube for her. But yes, she has one. Right. I have one. We've also got one on a tube of hand cream, which I've been using a lot of because I've been gardening. I've got a pond, I don't know if I told you. So I've been using a lot of hand cream lately, and I've got one on that as well. So any sort of tube that requires winding up, it, I mean, all sorts of medical tubes, I imagine, would be good candidates as well. I do remember, and I do apologise in advance to poor Steve Litchfield for taking him to task for something he said about 5 years ago, but I do remember him complaining that it only works on metal tubes, and if you now that everything's made of plastic, they don't work. I'm afraid I can't disagree more. I have no trouble at all winding it around plastic tubes. So, yeah, absolutely. These are fantastic. These are one of the best, cheapest chipses we've ever had on the show.
Mm. Very good. OK, thank you, Damien. Nice one.
Mine is a Faraday bag key protector from Amazon, 2024 Faraday bag key protector 2-pack. I bought this because I read a thing online about people are now managing to open and sometimes steal cars that have keyless entry, because they bring some sort of antenna and they hover around outside your house with it. And what they basically do is they vastly amplify the signal that's coming out of your car key, and they boost it, and they therefore manage to open your car. You know, the car key only works if it's about a meter from the car. That's how these keyless entry things work. Well, what these thieves manage to do is boost that signal so that it actually comes from your bedroom or your study or wherever your key is indoors all the way to your car. And so, for safety's sake, I bought a couple of Faraday bags for £6.37. They're available in two sizes. I bought the small, which is still quite big, 8 centimetre by 12. And you get two, and you can choose colour options for the thread. I chose red and blue, just so you can recognise them. And I put one key fob into each, and they absolutely work. I mean, I've taken them right up to within centimetres of the car door in the protector, and the car door wouldn't open. So they work, and, you know, it's an insurance. That's it. They're not going to do anything else except sit with the keys in them, but I know that they're protecting my car from vicious, nasty people overnight.
Perfect. Have you got a new car, then?
I have. Did I not tell you? You know what I need to do? I need to drive my new car into my pond. That would be a story for the show, wouldn't it?
I want one of those.
I want a 90 quid.
Ouch.
Sneaky EDC pen, everyday carry, that stands for. It's got a very sharp secret in the end. So it's an ordinary pen, but it, in the end of it, you can whip out this little blade, which, as we know, is useful for anything in life, you know, utilitary functions. Yeah, the pen has got this secret kind of chamber in the end, and you can just flick it out. It's 1.7 inches long, the blade, which means it's, you know, it complies with everyday carry. It's made of steel, and it looks like it can be very useful. I haven't got one, but I think it would be quite useful to have one, which is why I want one of those. And it also looks like it's really, really nicely made. Ever so solid metal all the way down. I'm not sure about replacing the what's it called? Refill thingy. What are they called? Can't remember now.
Ink.
Probably refill. Ink.
Replacing the ink.
But anyway, yes. I'm not sure how that blade comes out the end. I'm sure it's, well, it says it springs out the end, which one makes me wonder if it's it is allowed. But anyway, there you go. A pen with a sharp pen.
That was my immediate thought too. Was, is this legal? Even if this were, you know, as you say, this could be a very useful thing to have. But if you had this in your pocket and you're carrying it, are you then breaking the law? Are you carrying a knife without permission?
The knife bit wouldn't be illegal because it's under, what is it, 2.5 inches or something.
Oh, I see.
So the length of it would be all right. But I'm not sure if we're allowed to have something that bolts out of the end of it. I'm not sure if that's allowed.
Yeah, I remember some years ago when I got myself a genuine Swiss Army knife from Switzerland, and I actually went to the police station with it, and they actually said, no, I couldn't use it. And it was either because it does lock open or it doesn't lock open. I now can't remember which it was, but there are specifics. Yes, so as you say, this may not adhere to the correct specifics and therefore may not be allowed. Not to mention, if it fell into the wrong hands, you know, hands who don't care whether it's allowed or not. I'm looking at the pictures, actually. I think you twisted. It does look to me as if you twisted and it must just come flying out. So, yeah, it could be lethal in the wrong hands, but very useful in the right ones. And as you say, quite elegant. So, yes, it's a sort of Marmite pen, isn't it?
Push the pocket clip towards the tail and the blade springs forth. The same mechanism.
It sounds like you want to come in. Yes, my umbrella is full of eels. You may enter.
Well, anyway, we'll wait for Chris Kelly to come back on this one, because he'll know all about this. Yeah. Absolutely no question at all. The other thing that I really fancy getting, which is something that I have been talking about since day one of wearing Crocs, which was in 1842, I always thought to myself, in the holes in the Crocs that I wear all the time, down by the front toe somewhere, why can't I put a clock in there? Now, I was thinking about a digital clock. Someone has just made it's G-Shock have teamed up with Crocs, and they've made a croc which, on the side of your shoe, you can put a little analog clock which they've created into it. And you can just, you know, then glance down and look at the time. Now, my argument with this is that it's on the side of your foot. So you're going to have to turn your head and turn your foot round to see the blooming thing. My idea was better, I think, is that you put a digital clock, particularly digital clock, in one of the holes towards the toe area. So all you've got to do then is glance down and see what the time is. Saves wearing watches. Now, at the time, I was not wearing watches, and watches were really annoying me on my wrist. Now, since since the inauguration of the smartwatches, I am actually starting to wear watches again now. But if this was in the toe and not on the side, I'd like that. Glance down, see the time, digital, like a 1970s watch, red, nice red letters, and see what the time is by just looking down at the floor. Don't you fancy one of those?
Okay. Now, when I first read this, I thought, what a load of tosh. Now that you've given us your idea as the alternative, I can see that would have been a clever idea, and kudos to you, sir, for thinking of that. Having a watch on the side of your foot I can think of one use case. If you're a yoga instructor, you could possibly see when to finish your class. Who is going to be able to read a watch on the side of that? This is nonsense. This is absolute bunkum, Ted, honestly.
Yeah. They should put it on the front. And also, as I say, analogue is going to be quite difficult to see. Whereas if it was, you know, finely digitalised, mm-hmm. bright red numbers, it would be just different. So anyway, it was interesting that someone has... I should have patented it years ago.
Oh, dear me.
Better
before...
Light bulbs is... this place I live in, bulbs just blow all the time. And I've been trying to replace them. I went off to... I took the dead bulb out of the ceiling spot thingy and I looked on it and read what it said on it. And it said E14 30 watt. And I thought, right, OK, go on to Amazon. I even found a previous order that complied with that. Oh, I must have bought these before. So sent off for them. And the blooming things are half the size that I was expecting. And they obviously don't fit. And at some point, it looks like having bought it before, I probably made the same mistake before as well. anyway, I floated this in the group, of course, to our lovely chaps and ladies in the group, and apparently the R letter is the thing that matters. So you've got to look not only for E14 30 watt or whatever wattage you want, but also the R39, which means the size it is. And you know, my point about bringing this into Better Before, though, is that in the old days light bulbs were just light bulbs. They were bayonet fittings, and there was no screw bulbs. You just, every bayonet fitting in the country, at least in the UK, was exactly the same. You just screwed it, didn't even screw it in. You put it in and pressed it and turned it, and that was it. Every bulb you look at on Amazon now is bloody well different. And you know, I don't know why they can't just leave things as they were, frankly. And I'm very confident that you're going to agree
wholeheartedly, Ted. I made a big mistake. In my bedroom, on a shelf high up, I have literally between 50 and 100, I've lost count, light bulbs. When the change was coming and we could see that the end of the light bulb was coming, the light bulb as we know and loved it, I went out and I bought shed loads. And I've got 100 watts and 60 watts and 40 watts. Good old-fashioned light bulbs, as you say, push and twist light bulbs, and some screw ones as well. And I don't use them. Because I have eventually, in the way that people know happens to Aidan Bell, I have eventually succumbed and realised, oh, yeah, OK, I'll get this different bulb and all right. So now the use case for the bulbs that I stockpiled like a electric squirrel has gone down. And they're still... So, I mean, if anybody wants a 100 watt or 60 watt old-fashioned light bulb, I've got quite a few. Yeah, I agree with you, Ted. you know, the thing is, we've both learned on this show that actually, if you stop being an old fart and embrace the new, very often the new is better. But no, I agree with you. I have a great fondness for old-fashioned light bulbs, very much so. And they just come on. There's none of this warm-up time or fade in and fade out. You just turn it on and, oh, light. Yeah, much nicer.
But Ted's top tip in amongst all this is... Also, on the Amazon listing, if you look carefully at the pictures, they do generally show you a diagram with millimetre measurements of your bulb. So they must know that people like me are dumb and don't know how to order the right bulbs. Look out for an actual diagram with the measurements on so as not to make a mistake.
Yes, a very illuminating topic. See what I did there? Oh, never mind.
Whatever.
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 Whatever worked.
Whatever worked for me this time. I'm going to go with this is show 76, which is February 2019, and it was one of the last ones that Dave was on with us as well. The three of us were on, I'm going to go with the Ron Seal ready mixed wall filler, which I did
like
get,
you do.
And I've Yes. Which I did get, and it was great. And, it, you know, 101 little jobs. One of the things that just recently I used it for was that we had a shower changed at my dad's house, and the chappie who came and did it left two holes in the wall, which were where some screws went, where there was a sink. Long story, I won't bore you. But anyway... and, yeah, a squirt of this in that, and not even needed for a scraper thingy. What are they called? Those things that you draw over the top.
Oh, a spatula thing? Yeah, yeah, one of those.
Spatula thingy? Just put your finger over it and tidy it up. Job done. Now, it happens that the wall's white, which helps, but, yeah. And it's a little tube, costs about a fiver, and, it, you know, it's 101 uses. Make sure you put the lid back on, though. Now, whoever brought this to the show, I thank them for it, because I didn't know you could buy a little hand-sized one, which doesn't dry out like some of the bigger ones with other arrangements, particularly the ones that you put in guns. But yeah, that was my pick, I think, from the whatever worked.
Mine was an item that I brought onto the show, the plain natural cotton drawstring bag. I remember I actually got this, a friend of mine who was in prison, who I was visiting, and, excuse me, you're not, as people may know, you're not allowed to take anything into the prison with you, and you're given a locker on the way in that you have to leave all your valuables in. So just to make life easier, I wanted to get a bag that I could just shove all my bits and pieces in, and so I could just pull the bag in and out of the locker quickly. And I found these online, and they're fabulous. And then, of course, they turn out to have a myriad uses. You can store, you know, they're useful in the kitchen for plastic bags or for some foods, like bread you could probably put in there. They're good for keeping shoes in. You know, they're just a very, very useful bag. I believe they come in all sorts of different sizes, reasonably priced, and nice and natural cotton, no plastic involved, good for the environment, pleasant. Just very useful drawstring bags. I remember bringing those on the show, and I have still got one that's in use. I think I bought two or three, and I think a couple of them have died, but one of them is actually still using, as I recall.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And one that John Doe brought onto the show, which is worth a mention, is now he doesn't live in the UK by the looks of it, but the socket, the multi-socket kind of extension cable thingy, the difference with this one was, I think it was one of the first times we'd seen one that you can turn round, so each of the different plugs or sockets in it you can actually swivel round, turn round, and so they don't all bump into each other, which is really good. This particular one is has got five sockets on it. And as I say, I don't think it's a UK one, but I'm sure you can get UK ones. And unbelievably, it's... Oh, no, this is the Indian price of 1,690... Or is that yen? It's I think it is rupees. 1,690 rupees. I've no idea how much that costs. It probably isn't very much. So that was
you
John
thought
Doe's.
It was 1,600 quid and you were about to balk there. Ahmed Biebers would like to put into Room 101 job guarantee courses. Ahmed says, I've heard about these job guarantee or your money back programs before and have wondered how they work. I wouldn't touch them with a barge pole, he says. My gut feeling is that they must be a bit of a scam. How can a company guarantee a job? If they do, it cannot be a particularly good one or even a real one. Just pass the course exam at the end and we'll get you a job, and you'll get a full refund if we can't, so they say. Sounds very fishy, to say the least.
I was looking at one time to emigrate to Canada, which would have pleased a lot of people here, I'm sure. But my social work qualification was not going to be recognised, and the arrangements for going to Canada, at the time anyway, were that you had to go to Canada, spend 6 months doing a top-up course, and then be guaranteed a job at the end of it. So what you've got to do, basically, is be interviewed and get lined up with a job, which they hold for you for 6 months down the line. Now, apparently, that system did work. Now, it's a little bit different in this respect, because this sounds like it's an online kind of, you know, dodgy college
from
somewhere.
Yeah, I agree. I concur with...
But, But yeah, that Canadian system, apparently it did work. I didn't end up doing that, as you have probably worked out, because I'm still here.
I don't know, Ted. You know, we've never met. I mean, for all I know, you're in a little hut in Antarctica somewhere. I mean, you and I have actually never met, so who knows where you are.
Ed House jumped in. He says, undoubtedly, there are plenty of scams, but I've seen some real ones too, where there are industry-wide shortages of particular skills. They basically promise at least a year of employment by working with local employers to provide the workers essentially free for the first year. In my experience, the guarantee is because they get funding to cover the majority of the new employees' wages, so it becomes a no-brainer to employ a trainee for a bit afterwards. And the trainee gets to do the basic tasks and gain some experience for the CV while having the training paid for. Thank you, Ed. That's a nice rounding summary and a pragmatic approach to the whole thing, including my story from Canada.
I can't really comment much on this because it's just not in my field. But what is in my field and does bear some relevance is that I also wanted to move perhaps to New Zealand. And again, the visa stipulation was that I had to be able to prove consistent income. And I said, but I'm a performer. I go from one job to the next. I said, you know, Judi Dench can't prove consistent income because one job ends and you then look for the next. But they wouldn't have it. Yeah. They said, unless you can prove constant income, we can't give you a visa. So very silly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's much better. Ah. Oh, Matthew Jones is back. and Matthew Jones is back with a fantastic... I love this. Matthew Jones brings us Screw Fix Sprint. And if I didn't love Matthew already for his screwy any erection thing earlier, I love him even more for this. I'm a very reluctant DIYer, says Matthew, but needs must. Even when I think I've prepared properly, there will always be something, a tool, some supplies or something that I've forgotten about. So I end up aborting, which doesn't take a lot of arm twisting. But it turns out Screwfix will deliver to your door in as little as 20 minutes. Think of it as Just Eat for DIY. Yeah, I know. Think of it as Just Eat for DIY supplies. Yes, it costs £5 for delivery, but the convenience is great. The other day I woke up and it was bright and sunny. I thought, it would be a good day to stay in the decking. I had the thought at 8:30 a.m. and by 9:20 a.m. I was on the decking getting it done. I didn't even have to leave the house. That is quite something. And in fact, I went to Screwfix subsequently just a couple of days ago to get some Jubilee clips for my pond project. I've got a pond, by the way. And they had cards there, and I saw they had little cards on the counter advertising this sprint service. So very, very good. Again, at the moment, I've no use for it whatsoever, but it's one of those things that's fantastic to keep the card on your desk and know that it's there. And if you do suddenly want to do the decking at 8 o'clock in the morning, why not? Good call indeed, Matthew. Thank you.
I guess you've got to live within, a bit like Argos, you've got to live within kind of a range of one of their shops for this to work. You know, if you lived in the middle of the borders in Scotland and the nearest shop was in Liverpool, I'm not sure they wouldn't deliver.
No,
in 20
and I think
minutes.
You and your Antarctic hut haven't got much hope. But I'm in Hatfield and we actually have a Screwfix very close in Welwyn Garden City, so it would work for me. Good to know.
I'm being pedantic. Right, last shout is to
you?
Ahmed Bibars. Moi. Last shout is to Ahmed Bibars on pouched condiments. Gone are the days of scraping the remains of a mustard jar with a spoon or violently shaking an almost empty ketchup bottle to put some on your burger. With a pouch, it's much easier to extract every last bit of your favourite condiment. When it's almost empty, just firmly squeeze it with your index finger and thumb, pushing towards the nozzle. Zero waste. Yeah, I when I first saw this, I thought that he meant, you know, the little ones you get in cafes, but it's not. It's clearly, I looked at the picture and it's got 285 grams. So this is obviously a big one with a resealable, redoable top. And to be honest, I don't know about you, but I've never seen one of these. Whether it's something we don't get in this country. I don't know, but I guess apart from the waste of plastic, it's a good idea to not waste. A bit like the toothpaste.
I was just thinking, it's very similar to that. We need enormous rollers we can put on the bottom of these things. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a sauce person. I don't do sauces and mayos and stuff, so I wouldn't know whether these are available in this country because I wouldn't want one if they were. But it's a bloody good idea. Definitely one of those sensible all-round ideas for sure.
Indeed. So gold star for those two things. Thank you so much for chipping in, everyone, in our MeWe group. We're kind of done for this time, and we'll be back in 2 or 3 weeks, depending on what available content we've got. We'll think about guesting and theming as we go forward. Thanks for your feedback on that. Whateverworks.works is our website, where you'll find all the links to all the stuff we do. AidanBell.com is where you'll find Aidan to book him up when he's not booked. And TedSalmon.com is where you'll find everything else. All the links to all of our lovely audio podcasts and all of our MeWe groups. They're all there, TedSalmon.com. So just follow your nose. And yeah, join us in the MeWe group, please. And let us know whatever works in your life. And we'll be very, very grateful. Last word to you.
Nothing at all. I concur with what you said, but now I'm going to go and have a cup of tea. It's not even 11 o'clock in the morning. What are we doing?
Oh, yeah. I've forgotten it was the morning.
See you at the next one, everybody. Thanks for listening.
So one last thing to say, as always, don't forget,
whatever works,
works.